Oh my. Yes, yes, yes. Bramigos podcast live again. 2 weeks in a row.
In front of a live YouTube audience?
Live YouTube audience, bro. We're coming to you guys live again this week. This is what we're going to try to do every Saturday. We're going to come in, be live, do our thing, come talk to you guys. We're talking NFL today. We're talking MLB. We're talking WWE and all of that right now. Sit back, relax, talk with your people. Bramigos podcast, live and direct.
Saturday afternoon live.
Baby. You already know what it is. And we coming to y'all. So first, we're going to talk NFL. As usual, you know. And, you know, in the NFL, it's been a lot of things going on. But one of the main things that we want to talk about is this. Ban the QB sneak. And my brother in right here, Rob, from Bramigos Podcast, says that this is something that should be banned. Rob, go ahead and let them know why you feel like this should be banned, my boy.
So, with y'all basically bitching, moaning, and complaining, and I'm sorry to come out hard like A-Ball MJG with this, but like with y'all complaining about the banning, the tush push, it's not a football play, all this stuff like that. Let's go ahead, ban all sneaks, ban all QB sneaks, everything. Because think about it is, when we talk about this position being the number one position in all the sports, the most important position in all the sports, why the fuck are we throwing the most important position in all of sports into the motherfucking fire against all these real-ass cats that basically is trying to take these motherfuckers' heads off? Like, do y'all see the aerial views when basically these cats are getting these QB sneaks? Like, when I say, like, they're getting their necks wrung, they're getting all pushed and all this kind of shit. Nah, man, like, if you basically gonna say we need to get rid of the quarterback or the QB shove or the brotherly shove or the tush push, whatever you want to call it, whatever your flavor is, get rid of all the QB sneaks. Because think about it. Like, why do we need to basically have the QB, like, just burrow into, like, a little dive at the motherfucker just to get a yard? Like, shouldn't we basically try to run somebody up the gut? Shouldn't we basically try to get somebody out there, like, run an actual play? They got all these, you know, hitches and choice routes that basically they could run. Like, they can do other things to get a yard than, like, just go at a fucking either nose tackle or somebody playing a three technique or something like that. Actually run plays. So, if you're going to get rid of the shove, get rid of the sneak. That's all I'm saying.
Rob, I hear you. I hear you on saying we might need to get rid of the good old brotherly shove, but bro, you can't get rid of it. It made Cam Newton famous. It's making Philly famous. There's no QB sneak. It ain't no jumping over the pile no more.
And sometimes they'll do that. But the thing is like the quarterback don't need to be doing that. Like, think about it. Think about the motherfucker on your job that basically is handing out all the shit. Don't want that nigga in your fucking cookies unless he basically is your ass about some shit. But that's the only time that comes with that. But like, you want that motherfucker as far away from you as possible. Get these motherfuckers out the motherfucking heat. Like, get them to where they should be throwing. They don't need to be running up the gut like motherfucking Larry Zonka. They need to basically be on the edges in the pocket where they're safe. Like, why we want to put them in the fire like that? We don't need that. That don't need to happen.
Nah, I got to do it. Jarvis, talk some sense into him. Talk some sense into him about wanting to ban the QB sneak.
Prove me wrong.
I mean, I don't think it's the QB sneak that needs to be banned. But I do agree with some of the takes that they need to officiate it better. The tush push, I guess you could say. Because, you know, the linemen lining up offsides, you know, or too many men on the line type of thing, you know, I get that part, you know. So if you officiate it better, I think you won't have as many complaints. But also, it's just a play that's don't work all the time, but a good 90-something percent of the time it works. Yes. But, hey, I look at it. if the quarterback wants to risk himself throwing himself in a bunch of 300-pound men, that's on him. You know, only select QBs I feel like could pull that off, you know. But I don't think the move needs to be banned, but officiating it better, yes. Officiate it better, call the offsides or whatever, you know. But I don't think banning it is the way to go. Then you're going to be like, oh, especially because I don't want Philly to be like, oh, it was too good. They had to ban the move. Fuck Philly. No, we don't need that in the head.
See,
look, for player safety, there's been many things that's been banned. So, like Deacon Jones, for example, the club, that man basically used to club offensive linemen's heads basically as he was going in them, because that was, you know, fundamentally wrong. He's like, you shouldn't be doing that kind of shit. And everybody, even back then before CTE, basically knew that that shit was wrong. So, I mean, this could be a player safety move. This could be something that protects the quarterback. This is something that we basically get on the front end before we got motherfucking decapitated because they was trying to get, you know, on 3rd and inches. Like, we need to basically get rid of this before it's too late, you know? And I understand what the officiating. I understand because that's what the tush push, that's what they're getting away with. But I think we just need to get rid of it all. Just get rid of it. Just let's go ahead and play some football. Everybody out there. Statistically.
And we had QB sneak out of all these years. Can you point out a significant amount of QB sneak injuries? Significant. Well, look,
Jason Derulo, before he fell down the steps, we had nobody that fell down the steps at the Met Gala. All right. And then his ass fell down the steps. We don't need to wait until Jason Derulo falls into the QB sneak. We need to just go ahead and do whatever we can to make non-slick steps and basically make sure we do a part of this. That's all I'm saying. That's what we need to look out.
Nah,
instead of reactive. We don't need to wait on this. We just need to go. That's it. That's all.
You know what I hear, Rob? You know what I hear, Jarvis?
Right.
I hear mm-hmm. a concerned Viking saying about his rookie QB who just came back off an injury, who didn't get to play the first year.
That's
Looks like he might be a little tender. Looks like he might be a little tender.
I care about the children. You're absolutely right. I care.
I have, you know.
I care about
everybody. Can't have a big, strong quarterback. I understand. You know.
Do you want me to talk about
maybe
that?
If you had a running quarterback, it might work for you. You know, maybe if you had a running quarterback, you know, it might work. But I get it. You know, everybody doesn't have a running quarterback, you know, to be able to pull stuff off. So I understand, you know. Me and Nate, on the other hand, our quarterback had to go get some yards, you know.
Go running.
You know, but I understand, you know.
Would you like for me to talk about Dak right now? Company man, Dak.
You can go ahead and talk about Dak.
You really want to talk about, lover of 5-0 Dak. Like, all I'm saying is I want to protect Dak before Dak gets yet another season-ending injury, which is what? It'd be the number 4 at this point? Like, I'm trying to worry about every quarterback. How many times has he been out for the season? At least 2.
Yeah, I want to say he's been out twice.
Just 2?
I think 2 is at least a good amount.
2?
Just saying,
two kind of seems standard at this point.
Put his head down.
Unless you Joe Burrow, like that's two ain't the standard. Yeah, but he also gonna be out for 16 games. That's what. Look, all I'm saying is let's worry about our quarterbacks. Let's love our quarterbacks. Let's really think about the future of our quarterbacks. All right, that's all I'm trying to say. I ain't trying to do nothing else. I ain't trying to cause no problems. I ain't trying to cause no riffs. All I'm trying to do is protect the quarterback. That's it.
It's somebody who hasn't had a franchise quarterback since what? Dante Culpepper?
You still don't. You just got a nigga that's there.
Damn. That's cool. But that's cool.
Damn. That's the definition of a franchise quarterback. He's there every year. Like,
I mean, come on, Doc. Yeah. You know who was a franchise coach? Jason Garrett. if you want to basically do it like that, that but motherfucker ain't was just there. Yeah, because after a while, the fucking you got tired of basically, you know, oiling those springs and basically saying giving them the software updates. That's it. Like that's it. Like
sooner. Hey, like, he was right. I'm not on the year team, so he had to go.
After how many years?
Just because y'all was spending years mediocre with Kirk Cousins to trusting in Kirk Cousins.
It wasn't as many as with Jessica. You know what? We're getting sidetracked. We got a whole show to do. We got so many things. And I don't want to keep piling on the dirt of the Cowboys. We need to basically keep move on.
And you know what? This is how we're going to keep the show pumping. I heard somebody wants to cut a promo for my boy Russell Danger Wilson.
Danger. All right, y'all. So it is me. It is Rob. I am the Rob that's in the bottom line that's going to cut a promo. So look, I've been hearing some news, and I've been looking at like a lot of these pundits and a lot of these stuff going on. So I just want to talk to y'all right quick because this is some bullshit that I am seeing. And so, Nate, if you will, can you hear my goddamn music? I wish I had real brown liquor. Because this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing all these goddamn pundits. I'm seeing all these motherfucking talking heads. All these skeets. All these shits basically talking about Russ playing himself out of the Hall of Fame. Russ ain't can't get it done. Russ ain't doing this. Mm. But just not too long ago, you motherfuckers argued with me. About Eli Manning making it to the Hall of Fame. Maybe not first ballot, even though some of you motherfuckers thought first ballot. But basically making it to the Hall of Fame altogether. So I want to get this shit straight. I want to basically get this shit straight with all y'all. You motherfuckers saying that Russell Wilson, who's a 10-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro, and a Super Bowl champion, is playing himself out of the Hall of Fame. But y'all got that, you know what, I ain't going to say whack ass. Thoroughly mediocre ass quarterback in Eli Manning. 4 Pro Bowls in 16 years. Yeah, I can divide. 2 Super Bowls. Got you. But the only 2 times he actually won in the playoffs. Y'all basically got this motherfucker making it to the Hall of Fame. I just don't believe it with my 2 ears and my 2 eyes. I don't. I can't. Because the thing about it is, with my 1 brain, I can see that y'all motherfuckers lost y'all's a long time ago. How the fuck is Russell Wilson, who basically in 14 years made the Pro Bowl 10 times? 2 of those years, Eli Manning made the Pro Bowl. So if we cancel him out, this motherfucker's up. Count 8-2. How the fuck are y'all basically saying that this motherfucker that basically has been on good teams since the Legion of Boom basically went bust because they went out and got their money or got hurt, whatever it is, and he was still basically doing his thing with the Seahawks? Yes. Did he do bad with the Broncos? I ain't saying he didn't. Even though second half of that, he was doing much better. I like this goddamn music. See, y'all got me in my goddamn zone. Now. Look, this motherfucker made the Pro Bowl last year when y'all said he had a down year. This man is still making shit work, making shit shake, but y'all motherfuckers are talking about he playing himself out the playoffs? Now, what the fuck Kendrick Lamar say? We don't let white comedians talk about black women. That's law. We don't let these white-ass pundits or white-ish pundits talk about black QBs. That's law. I forgot that this motherfucker's a black-ass man in the NFL. What the fuck are y'all doing? Let this motherfucker talk about this dude like this. This man is still a quarterback. This man is still at least in the Hall of Fame or borderline, whatever it is. But he show ass is in front of the line of that motherfucker Eli Manning. Y'all know that for a fact. Don't play with that man's name. Don't play with that man's time. Actually watch him play and know that he is a better quarterback than that trash ass Eli Manning. Like, let me talk to y'all right quick. I just want to tell y'all. Y'all need to actually look at what the fuck y'all talking about. Look at what the fuck is there. And basically make some goddamn critical thinking decisions. If y'all thinking that Russell Wilson playing himself out the Hall of Fame, not playing yourself out your motherfucking rabbit ass minds. Now get better. I think you can. I know you can. I believe in you. Be better about yourself. Stop. Stop. stop regurgitating these dumbass takes from these motherfucking dudes. And that's my time, goddammit.
And that's the boy, Rob had to come here. Rob had to come to y'all to deal with them. Rob, you know, it raises the question. It raises the question. What are those? So, people are saying Russ played himself out of the Hall of Fame, but Eli is still getting it. Look, I got to agree with you. 1,000%. 10,000%. You can't say Russ played himself out if we're going to put Eli in there. If Eli is in there, I'm going to be real with you, though. And people gonna say I'm reaching. Nick Foles, look, I ain't gonna say Nick Foles deserves a shot in there, but it raises the question. Because Nick Foles had a magical run, almost two magical runs, if you think about it. And he won one, and he outdueled Tom Brady. Are we forgetting about that?
Philly.
Some people got to remember things like
that. That's the main reason it's because he beat time with Nick Foles. He beat time too.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only reason they vouching for Eli.
If you think about it, that's what it is. Because I'm going to say this. Let's say we replace Tom Brady with another quarterback. Are we talking about those two Eli wins as much? Do they hold the same value? Mm-hmm. Or are they undervalued?
Thank you.
No, they don't.
Because if basically...
Look at Russ beat Manning.
Yeah, we don't talk about Russ beating Peyton Manning. We don't talk about that. We say the Seattle Seahawks and the Legion of Boom beat them that year. That's literally mm-hmm. what he said.
But he put up 43 points. Think about it. The Seahawks put up 43 points on them boys. That's all Russ. Well, yeah. I think the defense did score a touchdown, though, so let me not say that. Defense did score too, but still.
Saying it though, it's a lot. It's a lot. I think we do value those two that he beat Tom Brady with a lot more than what other people think. You know,
but it don't need to be. It just don't need to be. It's trash to basically make it to where it's like, oh, you gotta basically put him in there because of those. Like, no, you don't. You don't have to. Nobody's telling you.
We don't. We don't. We don't have to. We really don't. But with that being said, bro, you know, we got to transition over to the next sport. And, you know, guys, MLB is here. The season is almost done. And it has been some great baseball gentlemen that we've watched over the past 160 games, because they ain't got but a few games left. But before, you know, we get off into the next things up in the baseball, I got to do this. I got to talk about the Rockies. My brother Rob, right here, brought up something to our attention. Well, to my attention, for sure. So, Jarvis, do you know that the Rockies' run differential is -419?
Not a typo.
The next...
I didn't look at the differential, but I did see how many they gave up.
So, look.
Over 1,000.
The next team, run differential is like 102.
That's a damn shame.
There's a gap from is negative 102 and then negative 419. You know,
that's a goddamn shame.
You know, brothers, today it was laid upon my heart to talk about the Rockies right now. And I'm going to talk about the Rockies. The Rockies are probably the world's most poo-based baseball team right now. So with that being said, I got to preach on this one. Look. To be a loser, losing ain't always the end. Sometimes you gonna make your come up. And whenever you make your come up, even the baseball gods will look down upon you at some time. Okay? But you know, there's always a brighter side. I'm gonna find the silver lining for you today, and we eat on Sunday, okay? And with that being said, guess what? The silver lining is they get to take their ass on vacation. 43-117, everybody get to go home. They ain't got no more suffering. No more suffering. None. You Rockies fans out there, we've been praying for y'all. All of us here at Bruh Migos Podcast. And guess what? Ain't no more suffering for y'all out there in Colorado. Ain't no suffering. Ain't no more having to sit there in them poo-ass seats. Ain't no more have to watch all them poo-ass pitchers give up all them runs. Because guess what? Today, we release y'all into the great beyond of taking your happy ass on vacation and getting the hell up off of televised television till next year. Now, with that being said, we got to go ahead and give him a baseball amen. You know, I got to let them go ahead and get up out of here, bro. They need to take their ass home. And guess what? Everybody going on vacation, bro. No more suffering. No more. They done seen the better side now. It's called the off season. Now be blessed. Kyle Freeland, all of the other Rockies baseball players.
Hunter Goodman.
Just go home. And rest and recover, because it ain't no more suffering. You done seen the other side now. Now I can continue on with our show. ABS will be used now in 2026. This will be the laser. Well, we can call it the laser system. Yeah, the laser system that they're going to use to call balls and strikes. Rob, how do you feel this is going to work now?
All right, so. So this has been, we talked about this on the show. Go in the archives. We got it back there in there, sir.
Way back then.
But essentially, automatic balls and strikes is finalized and is going to be used next season. It is the challenge system that is going to use, that the players are going to actually be able to use. Now, I didn't see the actual parameters of what they would do as far as like getting challenges and stuff like that, but they will be able to use this system during the season. Now, you guys did actually get to see it during the All-Star game. If you watched the All-Star game, that the players that actually were able to use it. And guys, and like I said, the people that have been in the minors for like the last few years have been using this system. So like literally they pat the top of the head, whether it's the pitcher, the catcher, or the hitter. They pat the top of the head, and that signals that they get, you know, a challenge. And then you see on the screen where the ball actually is. And you see whether it's a strike or a ball. It's pretty simple, pretty quick. It's actually really cool. And so we actually made a list of guys that we think is actually going to be really good at this because of like their current stats and stuff that they basically have done within this season. And we think that, you know, through their history, like these are guys that's going to be really good at calling the ABS. So first off, Juan Soto. Now, anybody that knows ball knows Juan Soto. Everybody that knows bank knows Juan Soto because that motherfucker just signed a 15-year, $765 million contract. So when you're getting paid $3 billion, three-fourths of a billion, you know, because I don't know money like that. 3/4 of a billion, you know, getting paid out in actual cash, yeah, you gonna know that this motherfucker's around. But no, he's dude that deserves it. He's act like everybody knows him as a patient hitter, as a pitch, as a hitter that knows the strike zone very well. Somebody that basically, in if you guys use Baseball Savant, a guy that is really good at squared up swing and contact squared up. Like, he is a guy that squares up on the pitch, and when he gets it, he gets it. But he also walks a lot, and that's what people hate about him. Like, he walks a ton, but that's because he's a patient hitter. So that's a guy that we have out there. That's my number one. Number two, Stephen Kwan, a lesser known name, but if you really know ball, you know Stephen Kwan with the Guardians. Dude has been around for a good little minute. Really good hitter. Really good as far as it's like Baseball Savant. Guy that basically very low whiff rate, has one of the lowest whiff rates in all of baseball. Really, is the second lowest, 8.8. So this guy doesn't really swing. This guy doesn't miss that much. Like, he's a really good hitter. Usually one of the league leaders in average. Guy that I think is going to really be really good at. So, same with this next dude, Luis Arraez. Hitter's hitter. Like, straight up, like, people called him like the second coming of Tony Gwynn, especially when he was playing with the Padres, because his numbers were actually eerily similar to when he got to the Padres to Tony Gwynn. It was night day. Like, if you all look it up, Tony Gwynn, Luis Arraez is straight up guy that has even lower whiff rate than Stephen Kwan at 5.3. He's the guy that basically can square up the ball, knows the strike zone very well, hitter's hitter. Professional hitter, get out the he gets out of the bed and swing and gets 330. All right, so next dude, Nepo baby, Jacob Wilson Jr. Now, if y'all remember, Jacob Wilson used to play for the Pirates. Dude, basically, you know, like he's his junior for real. Better hitter though, like he's rookie a dazzling young core with the Athletics, like a really good hitting core. They're gonna be a team to watch next year. A team to watch next year between young Nace there, Nick Kurtz, him, Lawrence Butler, Brent Rooker, if he's still there, like all these guys, like, but no, Jacob Wilson, great hitter. He's going to get a lot of rookie of the year nod.
Yes.
But yeah, another guy that basically is high in average. Along with his other Nepo baby, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., a guy that you know and I know very good for our hearts because he was on our all contract year team. He got his unit.
And he got it.
But no, a guy that basically squares up the ball. Another guy that basically has low swords, which basically is swords, as far as a stat, is a guy that basically gets, if you high in swords, you basically get fooled by pitches a lot. So, like, they make, you know, it's basically like crossed over. You know, like, if you ever seen like N1 videos, you see NBA videos, cats getting crossed, it's basically the same thing. It's like, how many times have a dude embarrassed, or how many times have you got embarrassed by a pitcher on some swings? And basically, this dude is very low, one of the lowest swords rates in all of baseball at 7, but also barrels up. And when I say barrels means how many times you get the barrel, so like the middle part, the sweet spot of the bat, how many times you get that on ball. Pretty good for barrel rate as well. So between those five guys, I think those are like the five dudes to watch how well they're going to do at ABS. Now, granted, like I said, I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't know if they're even going to get a chance to challenge, but I think this is going to be really good for baseball. Honestly, I'd rather this than the robot. They could just challenge. This is going to be something really good.
So I think that they're going to have to give them challenges because a lot of these dudes are like really good.
Yeah.
And like hitting the ball. The one to me that I think he's going to benefit the most, probably Stephen Kwan. Stephen Kwan is extremely good at knowing the strike zone. Extremely good hitter. He's a guy to me. He's almost like, if I had almost bet on somebody to get like a single every game, it would be like people like him. Him, Luis Arraez, they don't strike out a lot. They hit the ball really well. They put the ball in play. It's just something about how they swing the bat that's like, okay, he's going to the plate. We need a walk-off hit. you might be better off walking him and trying to get the next person out, you know? Because he might hurt you. Him, Luis, Jacob Wilson, like you said, that young athletic score going to be great. And I'll say this, and I'm stepping out on a limb and saying this right now. To me, that's almost your best gambling bang for buck to go buy a ticket to a team that might surprise you that day, because that team is young. There's a lot of pop in those bats. A lot of pop. And we didn't even talk about some of the guys. We didn't even name some of the guys that were already there before them, like Shane Langoliers and people like that. Because the young talent has come in, and you look at Lawrence Butler, huge amount of power, fast guy. Okay, you look at Jacob Wilson, you look at Nick Kurtz, you're like, oh my
young
god,
naysayer.
If they ever put this together and get some pitching and whatnot, they could go from down on the bottom to, hey, the Athletics aren't, you know, trash no more. They could potentially be a playoff team. Like, if they put this together, they could potentially be a playoff team. Problem is, they're the Athletics. That's the number one issue, right?
Essentially.
They're the Oakland A's. Okay? You got to get past the Oakland A's first, you know, before anything else. Now, from us,
I want to say one thing. I feel like shorter players might have a bit of an advantage because shorter players tend to have a smaller strike zone. So I feel like they might call some strikes that should have been balls because of their smaller strike zone. So I feel like they might have a little bit of an advantage with this because a lot of times they might get strikes called that really aren't strikes. Versus, you know, taller players tend to have a bigger strike zone. Yeah. That's just my two cents. And I also want to say tennis has been using this kind of similar thing since I can never remember. So yeah. Why not baseball implement it, you know?
I think because tennis, it was just a lines thing. They just had lines. They had the out mark. And it's like, okay, it's there. Okay, it's there. And I think that made it. But you're right. They have been using this since like the early 2000s. Like, I've said this forever. Yeah. Oh, and one other thing before we jump out of there. I gotta say this. We're looking at this like this ABS, but could you imagine Ricky Henderson in this ABS era? Because he was known as having a postage stamp for his strike though. I want to know how they would have regulated him.
Yeah,
because Ricky would walk a lot, and he was a constant threat on base, and it's like this guy may have made a living even more right now if it goes his way and he can challenge that, he might even literally be walked even more and have more stolen base potential in this era with this, depending upon how they would regulate it for him, you know.
True.
Now, you know, this next one is going to tickle Jarvis fancy, you know. 60 home runs for a catcher is the new Cy Young feat. See, he went to smiling already. He know we was going. We got to talk about the big dumper, Cal Riley. 60 dingers. Switch hitting catcher, 60 home runs. It's a new one,
my boy.
So let me start out with this. So like when we say that this is the new Cy Young feat. So Cy Young, like for those who basically have heard of the Cy Young Award. Reason why he got that award is because he had 511 wins, which they ain't never gonna happen again. Like we ain't gonna. Ever. Chances are we probably are done with the 300 winner. That you got 300 wins, that got you into the Hall of Fame. Like, yeah, we probably ain't gonna get nobody near that. But a catcher hitting 60 home runs is probably never going to happen again. Like, because the thing with Cal Raleigh was, A, he's a switch hitting catcher, which that's, it makes it even harder because you got to basically be good at both sides of the plate. It's so hard to basically switch it in major leagues. But also, you got to think about the wear and tear that a catcher, somebody that's a primary catcher, which Kyle Raleigh played over 100 games as catcher, like squatting, you know, like it's hard to basically have all of that power or have all of that stress on your legs and then use that power in the your legs in the box to basically muscle out these home runs. It's not just arms. When you hit a home run, it's a whole body effort.
Yes, it is.
Get that amount of torque. After basically getting hit by balls, after basically having to do stretches, after having to throw cats out, like it's a huge fucking feat. It's the reason why he is the MVP this year. Aaron Judge is not the MVP compared to Kyle Raleigh. He's not. When you talk about the team that won a division, when you talk about the team that won a division, when you talk about him hitting 60 home runs from you know, as a primary catcher, like, and as a good catcher, so he wasn't like he was bullshitting, like as a good catcher. Like, I don't think you can basically put Aaron Judge, who was hurt during the year.
Yes,
you know, he had 11 or 12 OPS. But nah, man, like he didn't play in the field all that time because after he got his shoulder hurt, he was only DHing. So yes, when you basically got Kyle Raleigh, who's been doing the things he's been doing. I think you got to give that the MVP because we're never going to see another catcher hit 60 home runs. I can guarantee you that.
So we don't think that any other catcher that might come out that we hit that can hit 60.
Not hitting as a primary catcher. Because think about it. Think about like the old record. I think it was like 50 something. Let me actually look that up. But
it was Piazza, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it was like 54. Yeah, catcher home run record. So like that's what we got to think about. Like it's hard to basically do all of that. It's damn near impossible. So that's why I think it's the new Cy Young.
Can I play devil's advocate for a little bit? Like I'm a Cal fan. I want to win want him to win MVP. But just for the devil's advocate's sake, Aaron Judge has a higher WAR. Higher batting average, higher on base percentage, higher slugging percentage, higher OPS, higher hits. Cal only has games, plate appearances, home runs, RBIs, and only two more stolen bases. So do you saying all with that being said, it's still not a conversation, or you still feel like it's still Cal all the way?
Because of the context. Because the context really matters when it comes to this. As far as the catcher position, think about it. It's like basically a center in football with an MVP. Somebody that's taking a lot of punishment, basically being so effective at their job that their team success has basically been great, but his success has been great. So think about it. The Mariners won a division, which was a contested division between the Astros and the Rangers for most of the season. So, I mean, you got Kyle Raleigh basically leading that team in that division when you got the Yankees, who haven't won the East yet or haven't basically, at least as far as I know. But the Mariners have already clinched the West. So, like, 60 home runs and a division win. I think that alone, even though the stats bear in Judge's favor, but the context bears more in Cal Raleigh's.
Okay.
So before we move away from that, got one more. What if Haley's Comet, our Shohei Ohtani, comes back next year? He has a full year pitching and hitting. Okay. Let's say he hit 48 to 50 home runs. And then he win 12 or 15 games and keeps like a 3 or under ERA. Would that be better than what we just saw from the switch hitting catcher?
Yeah, if he could do all it. If he could do what he did again. That is a bigger feat because that is harder to do. But I'm just talking about just with a catcher hitting that. Because the thing is, like, Shohei has already showed that, hey, I can be a really good pitcher, even though he's coming back this year and he's done fairly well this year. But like, I can be a good pitcher and I can be a great hitter. Yeah, Cal Raleigh's like, I can be a really good catcher and I can be a great home run hitter. That's we're not going to see that. I don't really think we're going to see that again. And I think, you know, Aaron Judge didn't do anything like that.
Okay, so basically, bar none, for us to maybe approve a DH type guy that doesn't play field a lot like Aaron Judge, would we have to see him get close to that single season record?
As far as like saying like what it is, like, yeah, it had to be close. Because like, let's say, okay, so I can, the only other switch in catcher I can think of right now is Adley Rutschman.
Yeah.
Like Adley Rutschman.
Dominguez can play catcher, I want to say, but he's not a primary catcher though.
Right, right. But like Adley Rutschman, who has had injury issues and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
If he can basically play catcher for like 130 games, and still basically hit, say he hits 55 home runs, that's an MVP worthy season too. But that ain't gonna be what Kyle Raleigh's did. I just really in my mind's eye, I cannot see another catcher hitting that much. Because think about it, you're squatting in the hot summer for days. Like Seattle is it has a retractable roof, but it's not a dome. So it's like you're in the summer. And you're basically in the hot heat, and you're going to say, well, I mean, I was going to say Houston and Texas, but they both play in like retractable roofs. But like, you're playing in all of these different places, like, or at Vegas, for example, Sacramento, for example. You're playing in, you're going to the Midwest and playing in those places. You're going to all of these hot climates and still playing catcher and still doing this on a day to day basis. He hasn't missed. Let me pull up Kyle Raleigh's stats. He hasn't missed a ton of games. So it's like he's doing this. McCarver said it. Tim McCarver said it best. He was a catcher for the Cardinals and catcher for a bunch of different teams. He said, I don't know how anybody plays catcher. He's like, I don't know. I really don't understand. You have to be a fool to basically play catcher. Like you had to have lost a bet because it's so taxing of a position. Because it's painful. Like you see, Yadier Molina had a detached testicle because a foul ball hit him and he was squatting and it just like boop and it's just like detached his shit. You don't see that out of any other position player because I was hurt for him. But that's what you basically have to do. Yeah, Kyle Raleigh played 157 games out of 162. Most of those games at catcher. Like You gotta put that into context. Like it's enough to basically be like, yo, you've been out here. Like Aaron Judge wasn't in right field the whole time. He was hurt, but he was DHing and he did well. Kyle Raleigh is the MVP and he's done something that is damn near impossible because of the context that you see as far as the catcher position. I think that's what means more. Because in any other year, Aaron Judge is the MVP. He's the best player in the American League. I will say that right now. But as far as this year, as far as right now, you got to give it to Kyle Raleigh because if you don't, it's a great injustice. I remember seeing Jeff Passan saying like he would vote for Aaron Judge and feel really bad about it. I don't see how you can vote for Aaron Judge when you see what Kyle Raleigh has done.
How you going to vote for him and feel bad about it? I mean, you know you shouldn't vote for him.
Because it's also because of what Aaron Judge has done. Like I'm looking at his stats now, like 330 average, 111 RBIs, 52 home runs, 1144 OPS. That is fucking crazy numbers. Like that, like
definitely
what he does is a huge, like we talked about like short players and their strike zone. This motherfucker 6'7", you know, like 6'7", 282. Like he is an offensive tackle out there basically playing at, like this motherfucker doing what he done with his huge strike zone and really barreling out the ball leads the league in barrels and barrel percentage. Like he is somebody that's one of the best hitters in all of baseball and a guy that basically is like, there is not much of a comp. He is an unprecedented player, and that is in a league of Shohei Ohtani. Like he, but the fact of the matter is, like I said, Kyle Rowley, with what he's done, it's hard to basically put. It's hard to say what he's done should be overlooked. Because I'm looking at the baseball reference, and I'm looking at the comparison. Kyle Rowley beats the hell out of this is career. So let me look for 2025. Like Aaron Judge got him in a few categories, but like the context, nah, man. Like, because Kyle Rowley got more RBIs, more stolen bases as a catcher, like, and more home runs and all that. But yeah, Aaron Judge got him in absolutely everything else.
So, but Kyle Rowley, AL MVP?
Kyle Rowley, AL MVP.
So, who are we claiming then NL MVP then?
Shohei, the unicorn.
We're going to go Shohei? All right.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I'm not a voter. I'm not an MVP voter yet.
You can make us some now.
I mean, but nah, Shohei is the MVP for the NL. Kyle Rowley is the AL MVP. That's what I got.
Yeah, I could agree with you with that. I could see that. I could definitely see that. Now, Vinsky, this next topic may sting a little bit. Are the Dodgers said to be the Braves? Okay, so look, I'm gonna go ahead and give a little clarification on this one. Will the Dodgers only fizzle out like the Braves and only win one championship in a set of all the time and then not be there again? Now, look.
Yeah. So to help elaborate, will they be failures? Go ahead, Bisky. Or go ahead, Nate. Finish what you're saying. Will they be failures?
Rob said
disappointing that, failures. Excuse me. Sorry.
Rob said that looked at you like, yeah.
Take it. Will they be travesties that we will remember for the history of time? Go ahead.
So look, this is my opinion. I told Rob, I don't think that the Dodgers could be a travesty like Atlanta. And look, this ain't a knock against your team, but your team has
failed
flat of where they were supposed to be. Atlanta was looking like a perennial team. They were 100 game winners just a short time ago. You just won a World Series just a short time ago. But with all that said, 75 wins, disappointing bullpen. Your star comes back. He kind of is having words with people in the dugout. He's pointing out issues that aren't being taken care of. He's pointing out favoritism of what's going on with certain people. It's a lot going on in Atlanta. And with that being said, Rob thought that maybe the Dodgers could be having the same thing, but I'm gonna let you know something, Rob. I don't think that's gonna happen.
Okay? No, really?
I don't think Magic Johnson and his suitors and the front office of the Dodgers are gonna let this happen. And there's multiple reasons why. For one, we ain't in Atlanta. That's the first one.
That's a damn shit. Neither are the Braves for that matter.
We aren't in Atlanta. We aren't wearing the Atlanta logo. We are not doing any of those things. I feel like
he's mighty excited for a fan of a team.
My team is in St. Louis. Your team is in Cobb County. Next.
Still a failure.
Y'all failed out of downtown. Like, I mean, y'all was just like, ooh, we can't have them here. It on down.
I don't think that front office is going to allow their team to fail. They took measures that we saw during the season to make sure that they had pitching. Okay? They also took measures to make sure that their unicorn could pitch whenever the time was needed. I think that the Dodgers are 100% on go mode at every time, anytime they think that they have to make a move that can benefit them or push them in the right direction. Sorry to say this, but I do not feel like the Atlanta Braves are doing the same thing. I will use this example. Take my Red Sox. Me and you talked about this. We took a gamble on getting rid of Devers and picking up a bunch of shit. People said that we were what? We were stupid. We were idiots to trade Rafael Devers. We were everything under the sun, but in our right mind to give him away. San Francisco is not in the playoffs. We are. San Francisco is not in the playoffs. We are in the playoffs. The results do it for themselves. Do I think the Dodgers are going to allow themselves to fall out? Hell no. Because the Dodgers are going to say, hey, we need to be relevant. We're in LA. We're a big market. We're a celebrity market. We're a celebrity target. We have one of the most notable celebrity faces on our ownership board in Magic Johnson. The man that had movie theaters. He had all kind of shit. Okay? He's everywhere. We have to stay relevant. We have to stay winning. Because let's be real. Since they took over whenever the Dodgers missed the playoffs, they haven't missed the playoffs since they took over. They've been active in every major free agent move. They stole Shohei Ohtani from the same people in town.
$700 million. They ain't stealing.
Well, they ain't stealing, goddamn.
That's your hoe chose me. That is.
Either way, it was some real live pimping going on whenever they bought him from one side of the town to the other. Yep. Okay? They are ready to flex their wallet at any turn, okay? The best way to describe the Dodgers to me is this. If you told them that they had to pimp smack other teams with their wallet to make trades happen, they're going to say, we got a 747 with our wallet attached to it. Just stick your head out the window. We about to make this happen, okay? That's how I feel like that. I don't think that they could be Atlanta. Atlanta, Jarvis, your team has lacked the urgency. Nobody hit the fucking buzzer whenever the pitching went down the drain. Nobody hit the buzzer. It was that mean.
I would say it was to Jarvis, the manager was really lackluster the season.
Look.
He didn't know when to pull the plug. He didn't know.
Yeah, but it was the meme of the dog in the house burning down and him saying, it's fine in here. And shit was not fine in there. It was not fine.
Yeah.
Everything was burning out.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to basically be interesting to see overall. Like, because the thing about it is, Dodgers are on the streak. The only two people that basically have won since what, 2009, the NL West is the Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. And the Giants basically won it in 2021. Dodgers won it like 5, 6, 7 years before that straight. And yeah, like they've been on a crazy ass streak. But it's like, yeah, like I don't know if they could get more than one world title out of this. I think that the Dodgers have found a way when it came to basically all the division titles over and over again with Don Mattingly to find a way to. It's like it feels like even though they got a lot of wiggle room because of their checkbook and because of the farm system for that matter, it still seems like it's always something that happens. Like they got a great lineup with, you know, Shohei, Freddie Freeman, Eddie Páez, Teoscar Hernandez, Ed Tommy Edmonds, all these great players in it, but it seems like it always finds a way to basically like they have nothing in the bullpen, they have nothing basically in the rotation. It's just like, oh, all of a sudden they lose to the Padres 3-4. Like, I don't know if that's gonna happen, but it seems like it always comes down to that. So I can see them basically having, you know, say 15 out of 16 world division titles, and we haven't won the world championship.
Show for it. But let's say this in the playoffs. We forget this. We're talking about one team who's still in the playoffs versus there was another team 2 years ago who won 100 games, and that second season was their back-to-back 100-win season. And now they're not there. They have failed to be relevant in Cobb County because I know you're going to say they're not in Atlanta.
I mean, it's true.
They have Factual failed evidence. To be irrelevant in Cobb County right now. That's the major difference. I think, and this is my personal opinion. I think if you had a major face, I don't know who, I ain't gonna say Future, maybe a Jermaine Dupri or Usher or somebody who was really involved and wanted to be a face and an upfront presence and help be a buying force into Atlanta, maybe they might be like, hey, let's go, come on. Let's make this thing move. But there's nothing there for that. Nothing there. They're more interested in going to watch Atlanta Hawks games. But I'm going to be real. This season, even I'm interested in watching Atlanta Hawks games this season. I cannot lie. Okay? Your team went from cream of the crop to a sinking ship. And with the man. What makes it worse is I fear this. And I know Rob might pull out the jiggy 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 voodoo doll on this one whenever I say this. I think y'all might be in danger of losing Ronald Acuña. Okay.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm nervous of that. You know, I feel you know, I don't know.
I'ma explain why. He said something a while back in a live interview, and it triggered a thought in my head. He said one time before about unfairness, right? People like him don't seem to be the type to, I'ma forget whenever there was an unfair moment that played out how I didn't want it to play. And I truly think, Rob, that he might force his way out of there at some point. I really do. I don't know where he wants to go, but I think he might force his way out. Because I want you to look at this. Just walk with me. On this bombed out and depleted Atlanta rotation, who in here are you willing to bet is your ace or possible ace to help you win games?
I mean, any of them, if you can stay healthy, shit, that was the problem. Okay.
look, but we know, we've always said this, availability is the most important thing. Right. If none of their ass is available, then they don't mean nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if Strider could stay healthy, he's an ace. If Chris Sale basically can stay healthy, you saw it last year, and I'm still eating crow from that shit, he's an ace. You know, like, Ronaldo Lopez has good, like, they just, yeah, like, it's at least 3-4 of them niggas that can basically be good in the lineup.
And if all the rotation ifs were a fifth, a Hennessy at Magic City, we'd have all of the girls drunk. Do you? Oh. Well, not Magic City no more. Blue Flame.
Yeah. Either way. Great.
We would have all of them. Yep. We'd be lemon peppered and Hennessy out. We'd be great to go. But the problem is they lack health. And then on top of them lacking health, let's look at your outfield. Yeah, the guy came back from steroids, Profar. Okay. He's really good. We can't count him out. Okay. Because he's switch hitter. He's very nice. Power on both sides. Ronald Acuña, right field, Harris. Solid outfield. Super solid outfield, okay? But the thing to me is that that stands out in my mind is this. Acuña isn't going to forget what was said. And Harris is going to look at Acuña, okay? You got a little bit more time. You're a little older than me. How could these moves play out? Atlanta got young pieces. But then I also think that they have pieces that may feel like, I don't know how much longer I want to be here. Okay? I'm not trying to say that this could happen to you. You could lose some of your pieces, and I know you're going to think I'm taking a shot. to a team like St. Louis, to a team like San Diego, you could lose younger pieces to them.
Hell no. I ain't seen nothing to St. Louis. Over my goddamn dead body.
I mean for you to get all dead like that. So, but yeah, it's a possibility.
It's just a possibility. Because of the young pieces want to go places that they either feel like are going to appreciate them or they feel like they're going. St. Louis is one of them places that they known for trying to mouthpiece their way for young talent. Okay, they could do this. Atlanta's a big market, but it's not, they're not taking care of them. Mm-hmm. Just look at what y'all do. Rob, would you say that you're a fairly big market in St. Louis or a middle of the road market? You say you're more middle of the road, right?
If that. These niggas cheap. Okay.
But look. For the most part, y'all try to take care of what y'all have. Okay? Sure. Y'all try.
You don't want me to be honest.
I get where you're going with this.
Yeah. But yeah.
Y'all try. At least try a little bit. What has Atlanta done outside of going and get Charlie Morton to help their rotation and help all of those good fielders and stuff? Okay.
Got them all them niggas on 360 deals. That's what the fuck they did.
But there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, overall, yeah. Like, the Braves can be nice next year. It's just that, yeah, like, it's. We'll see. It's a very much a we'll see, especially with that NL East being what it is. You see, the Marlins basically are now coming up and seeing that, like, hey, we are viable force. The Mets still are looking to spend and looking to keep what they have. The Phillies have been basically keeping themselves at least number one or number two in that division. The Nationals are a sleeping giant that are going to basically, once they get pitching, are going to be a fucking powerhouse.
Yes.
Yeah, like, you niggas gonna have to basically, it ain't
it's
just,
about
hey,
to we will fight.
Yeah, we ain't gonna roll the ball out there. It's gonna be get to a point where it's just like, nah. We gotta basically put our dudes
on. And I think though Charlie Morton signing was more of he wanna retire with Atlanta. I don't even know if he's gonna play next year.
I give a fuck if that nigga wanna play or not if I put my money out there. He better get his ass on the goddamn field and give me some wins. Mm-hmm. Moolah means I need wins, okay? I need money. Had a grill and said, I need money. If I lived in Atlanta, mine would say, I need wins. Okay. It is that simple. Atlanta is about to be, look, they about to be like R. Kelly. When they was in that interview, I'm out here fighting for my life. You. That's what this could end up being over there. This could literally end up being that over there in that NL East division. And I don't think that y'all want to be on the bottom of the barrel there, because y'all was 100-win team a couple years ago. Back-to-back 100-win season. Remember, Rob? We talked about this at the beginning, because this was during the infancy of the podcast, Rob. You remember that? Atlanta in 100 game back-to-back. Got to watch out. They could be dangerous. Even though they wind up getting like knocked out like the first round or some shit like that. But we was like, you gotta watch out. They could be dangerous. And what else we had said before, Rob? That Philly buzzsaw is something crazy. What is that Philly buzzsaw doing this year? Mm-hmm. Scalping left and right. 95 wins. Schwar bombs everywhere. It's getting crazy over there. And Atlanta not making the playoffs is not a good look. It's not a good look, though. Y'all might be in for it.
Definitely.
Yeah. y'all in for it. I'm telling you now, y'all in for it. But moving on. WWE, my friends. WWE. Okay, so look. WrestlePalooza was WWE's first ESPN event. Rob, you're saying they stumbled. I do agree with you. Go ahead and elaborate a little bit for the people about how you feel that they stumbled.
Yeah, it just wasn't that great of an event. The matches kind of went on a little long. I think some of the matches were real cool. EO and Stephanie Vaquer. But yeah, like it, as far as like what it is, as far as like what they put out there, it didn't really feel like this was a good mark for ESPN or them, as far as a start or a start of a new beginning. So yeah, I wasn't feeling it.
What did you think about WrestlePalooza, Visky?
Yeah, it was kind of a let down. You build it up. It's the first, you know, PLE on ESPN. It kind of just felt like a glorified house show again, you know. You know, Stephanie Vaquer, of course, she got the title. The whole Vision versus, you know, Jay and LA Knight and all that. Man, the whole thing is going to keep going. Gonna keep going, you know. They just gonna rotate out who they want to wrestle each week, but yeah, and I wasn't feeling it. And the Cody Drew, I didn't really like the way that ended for some reason. I didn't like that. Could have had a better ending, better, you know, payoff on the end. But yeah, it was just a kind of like I would say though, the Vision versus, you know, the Usos thing. That tag match was a great match. I did enjoy the match itself. AJ Lee, that match was a bit long for her first match back, I feel like. Even though they gave some good spots, the longer the match went, you could tell she had ring rust, and you were just able to notice it more. But yeah, other than that, I was just like, yeah, C-.
Rob, I felt like, I'm like you, they fumbled this shit. You right, Dovizky. That match was long for her to say that she had ring rust. And I know people are going to say, you just a John Cena fan. Look, bro, I don't want to see Cena get squashed. Like, not like that, bro. That's some bag in the day shit. Why we came out here and did this again with him and Brock Lesnar and just, hey, Cena, we just going to go ahead and let you get squashed and then we go. Roll on to the next.
I'm on the opposite end because it was fitting. It was fitting. Yeah, you can't make it believable that old John Cena gonna have a good match with a beast like Brock Lesnar. Him getting squashed made the perfect. In my opinion, it made the perfect sense. He had to get squashed, you know. So,
and Velasquez just kicked the shit up out of this nigga before he left. Before he left the UFC. Okay, now with that being said. We had a match back in the day where John Cena still wound up beating his ass. Okay? Why we just couldn't... Brock could have went over. It wasn't about the winner or the loser. It was how we got there. We already did a match similar to this way back in the day where Cena got beat up and then he wound up wrestling Brock in a series of matches that wind up with Cena FUing him on the steps and finally beating him again. We ain't got time for all that. This wasn't supposed to be that. It didn't matter to me if Brock won. It was, don't go out here and squash him. Just, hey, competent 10, 15 minutes back and forth. Then if you hit an F5, win, cool, whatever. Okay? Because we ain't got time to waste on this. Not whenever he got X amount of matches left. Okay? Which we don't even know how he's going to end his career right now. It's so much shit that's up in the air with the John Cena shit. To me, it's like, okay, we don't know what we're going to see from him in the end. It's probably a loss, but whatever. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to continue to say this every time we talk WWE. The Vision is a stupid-ass name. Okay? I'm going to say that. They don't work for lens crafters. Okay? They don't work for American Eye Exam. They don't work for none of them. Okay? There is not a picture of Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed with eyeglasses on in America's Best.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. WWE, I swear to God, if you take my idea and don't contact me behind some money, I will be pissed. Okay. You can't, you're not doing that yet. So the name Division is clearly stupid. Now we get an America's Best ad, you know, going, I can understand, whatever, you know. You might have you might have somebody talk about the Vision is great, and then they jump through a wall like the Kool-Aid Men or some shit like that, you know. Power bomb person, hey. Table, don't you take my idea. Don't you take my idea. I give great ideas. I know this. Outside of that, I gotta go with you guys. It felt like a fumble. How do they put together this and they haven't figured this out? Like, just how can we go and we make the move and then not, this wasn't a bang? You know? Mm-hmm. This should have been a bang. We should have set this off for WWE. We should have all been, ooh, ah, great match. This, that, and the third. This, that, and the third. We spent money well with ESPN. Instead, we like, these motherfuckers robbed me of all my money right now. They took my money. This is how we feel. We all said this after this. We were like, I feel like they might have got us.
Good thing I didn't spend $30 on that.
Yeah.
I didn't either, really.
We not getting into this with, look, WWE. Not wasting my money on your lackluster shit 3SBN.
But there was something that did happen at WrestlePalooza that I do want to talk about. And this is something that basically, it's a little early for them actually. So, but I want to give somebody their flowers right now. And I want to basically talk about Stephanie McMahon, who has been around for a very long time. Like wrestling fans like us, like we remember Stephanie basically getting, you know, held up on that little cross or get tied to that little cross and get saved by Stone Cold. She was daddy's little angel until she was daddy's little devil. You know, basically one of the biggest parts of the authority. But as far as somebody that all these women wrestlers and all these wrestlers backstage will tell you, like a big seminal piece of somebody that's helped their career, helped them get standing, helped them basically get any kind of like foundation within the company. Like somebody that basically has helped the business with standing as the CEO. Her daddy was basically being a nasty dude and basically doing all this kind of shit. Like, she basically held the company down until basically TKO came and bought it up. And like, she was the one that people thought was going to get handed the company because essentially Shane wasn't going to be there. But got to give you your flowers, ma'am. You know, the first clap for the first inductee of the 2026 WWE Hall of Fame. I love the music of the Hall of Fame too. It's like da-da-da-da. There's like superhero shit. I love hearing that music when that time of year come around, but usually we don't hear about the Hall of Fame or anybody getting inducted until about January, like right after the Rumble. But they gave it to us early for WrestlePalooza. Long ass segment with the Undertaker for whatever reason. And so yeah. Just another thing that just went on too long with that WrestlePalooza. But yeah, now Stephanie McMahon, shout out to you. Give you a flower. I ain't got a flower with me, but here's a digital flower. We'll put it on in post. Yeah. But yeah. Now,
even though they had mixed emotions about that.
Who did?
People felt like Vince McMahon would have never took the, you know, the internet had mixed emotions. They said Vince McMahon would have never put his family in, you know.
The nigga that tried
he would have never took the opportunity.
Oh, he definitely put in his family.
I'm talking about he would have never took the opportunity to put his family in the Hall of Fame or himself.
He'd put himself in the Hall of Fame.
He would have. He would have. It probably would have been like down the line, because I think that basically there's a long line of people that still need to get into the Hall of Fame. Like, and so, but it's still to where she is deserving. I mean, shit, Triple H is in like multiple times and shit.
Yes, he is.
I mean, like, I get what they might be saying, but it's like, nah. It would have happened. But yeah, I guess what's the timing of it probably. Yeah.
Okay, guys. So look, we got a couple questions right here. We got one from Alex. Which MLB teams do we think are pretenders heading into the playoffs? Ooh. Ooh, let me look at the list. Pretenders heading into the playoffs. I know one for sure. If they make it, no.
I'm about to say, are you gonna take mine?
Huh?
But go ahead. No, I want you to go ahead and I'm gonna see if we agree.
Okay. So it's two teams that come to mind. Them goddamn Detroit Tigers.
Bingo.
Okay. And I'm going to say, it, as bad as this might sound, if they make it, the Houston Astros. Max, I know you're an Astros fan. If the Astros make it, they are kind of one of the biggest pretenders in there because the Astros have like one fucking ace that can pitch his ass off, and the rest of them niggas is backup singers in the Temptations. They got one goddamn just. I know not to underestimate your Astros, okay? Okay, but what my boy said in the goddamn Temptation, Dave Ruffin. Them niggas ain't come to see you, Otis, and that's what Fran Valdez can say every time he step on the mound. He can look at everybody over there in the bullpen and say, they ain't come to see you niggas over there. They came to see me. And that's how I would be if I was him, because the rest of them bitches ain't worth crap over there. Who do you think, Rob? All
right, man, I got two. All right, so I always am going to take a chance talking about and people gonna basically bust down on me, was like, I always got to take a chance to talk about the Brewers. Those motherfuckers bats, like, the thing about the Brewers is they always got pitching, but their bats go quiet very quickly in the playoffs. And I think that basically this is going to be one of those years that it happens. You know, they got William Contreras, Sal Frelick is having a nice year, they got old boy the rookie Bryce Perkins, I think is what his name is, like, they got some cats that's there, but it's like, them motherfuckers go cold. Of course, the Tigers. But I'm like, I haven't believed in them, like, in a long time. Those motherfuckers got hot, and now it's like, it seems like they simmering down very quickly, like motherfuckers put them in ice. But another team I would say on the AL side is the Toronto Blue Jays. They just going, the clock going to strike 12 on those motherfuckers sooner or later. I love Vlad. I do. I really do. But that team knows what it is, and when you talk about the other teams that's there, the Yankees, the Mariners, like the Red Sox, who I still got is basically the team that's going to win the AL, essentially. Yeah, nah, man, I don't see the Blue Jays really lasting.
So, what about you, Visky?
All right, my NL pretender, even though I'm very fond of this team, I'm about to go with the Padres. The Padres have not shown me that they're ready to take it to the next level. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they might have a great, you know, a good regular season record. But when I watch their games, I don't see championship material. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to go with the Padres. And in the NL, my number one pretender will have to be the Guardians.
Oh, in the AL.
Because they're the only in the AL. They're the only playoff team a negative run differential. So that bothers me a little bit.
That's a good shout.
So I feel like they could be on the way down. My second AL pretender is none other than them goddamn Boston Red Sox. Yes, I'm taking a shot.
Oh, so you're picking on my team? Hey.
Yes, goddamn Boston Red Sox are gonna fold in the first round. You heard it here.
All I
can't let the day go by without
the club is what I hear right now. That's what I hear. I hear hating from outside the club. Okay,
you gotta take a break from Rob and give you a shot. Okay, boom.
Oh no, man! The Yankees are in it every year, but the Yankees are always in the playoffs. But here's the problem with the Yankees: they slip off their wallet at some point during the run. They be up there on the wallet, and all of that money that they spend be holding firm. until late in the playoffs, and they just fall off. It's not that they even a pretender. They spent well. It's just can they hold on to it? That's the biggest thing with the game. And I'm not gonna lie, Toronto scares me because, like you said, Toronto can go cold. They have supreme batting power, but all of them fools scare me that they can go cold. The same thing in Milwaukee. That beer can go flat fast. And I have no clue why. Toronto is a sleeper, but they right there with the Yankees. They half a game back from being number one in the AL East, but we're about to see, because they literally right there. They got a better home record than the Yankees, but they don't have a better away record. Toronto got some good pitching. They got good bats. Springer's there. Goddamn Bichette is there. Like, they have everything there. But they also, we watched them and the Brewers do this during the season. All of a sudden, boop, flip the switch, they went crazy. Both of them each went crazy during the season. It was like they couldn't lose. And then the next thing you know, it was like, lose. I'm going to lose now. Everybody's cold. Can't nobody hit shit. Pitching is kind of doing their job. We can't provide run support. And then it was over. And it's like, oh. Like, now we back here again. That's the only problem with Toronto in goddamn Milwaukee. But Milwaukee they got a hell of a goddamn team. It's a hell of a team over there to deal with. And they got it on lock in the Central. Shoot, nobody can pass them. Like, right now, freaking Philly is the other team. I'm not going to lie. The Mets are kind of iffy too, Rob. Mm. The Mets are a little iffy.
Yeah.
The Mets are a
little I would believe in the Mets more than like most other teams, just because like they have been finding a way. I think Juan Soto, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, like 1-2-3 punch, I think is still one of the best in the business. And so like I think they'll have enough, and they got Edwin Diaz right there in the bullpen. So like they got at least enough of what they should need, but it's still gonna be like, yeah, they're the Mets. At the end of the day,
so do you think them or the Reds? Do the Mets or the Reds have a better chance at upsetting the Dodgers?
Ooh. Awesome Mets. I don't think the Reds got enough.
Have a better chance.
I don't think the Reds got enough. Mm-hmm. I love Ellie. I love Ellie De La Cruz. Love what Chase Burns might be, but the Mets.
They got enough.
The Reds. You know what I'm expecting the Reds to do? And this is going to sound crazy. I think in the last few games, the Reds just going to hang it up.
They just going to bow out. It's going to be like, it's going to be real quiet. They just be like, yep, I'm not needed here.
Yeah.
Fade to black.
Because look, even though they tied for the third, for the final wild card spot. Okay. Let's say they make it in, okay? Who are they really upsetting?
You said who the Reds upsetting?
Yeah. Like, if they were to make it in, who are they really upsetting?
They don't really have anybody that I can 100% say that they can beat.
And that's what I'm saying, though.
Like the Padres, I still believe in the Padres. I believe the Padres with that lineup, with what they did with that bullpen, they have so much potential. And to your point, like they can go cold real quick too. And that's what happened with the Dodgers, really. Like they were up and they basically just squandered that lead away. But like, yeah, like they're not beating the Cubs, they're not beating the Padres, they're not beating the Dodgers. That's not, they don't have enough yet. Now, in the future, they might, but that's not there yet.
Yeah. Which MLB team disappointed y'all the most? Oh, that's easy. This nigga's Braves. We had picked them to
definitely make for me, my
we had picked definitely them to for me, a team in the playoffs, and they ass fell flat like the goddamn prom queen walking down the stairs, and they fell flat on their face and slid down face first down the bleachers. That's what they did. Just was talking about them.
Alex, I really love your questions because, like, it really makes me think. Because, like, I was really about to go with my Cardinals. I honestly was. But then I thought about another team that we talked about during this episode, the Rockies. The Rockies have been my most disappointed team because these niggas gave up 1,000 runs this season. 1,000. Mm. The next highest is like 886, which is the Nationals. 1,000 runs. Like, they get a 419 run differential. You don't get that. Like, we're here for not safe for work analogies. Straight up, the Rockies were the equivalent of basically throwing a hot dog in a hallway. That's what the Rockies were this year. They was like, come get it, come have it, just big hole. Like, that's what the Rockies, that's what teams were doing to the Rockies. Rockies ain't got no walls no more, y'all. They done. Like, that team needs a surgery to basically get that tightened up, get it right, get it tight, get on Kanye's workout plan or something.
Well, here's
like,
the thing.
They're bad.
They dropped in losses. They had 61 wins last year, all right? And everybody said they could only go up. Well, they went backwards. They went backwards this year. Everybody kept saying, oh, the Rockies can only grow and recapture what they did in the late 2018. No, niggas went backwards. They went from 61 wins to 43 wins.
Yeah. That's why they legalized weed over there, because they had to basically do something to get over these niggas being so goddamn trash. That's the only way you can basically
one more disappointment.
Who else you feel like?
I got one more disappointment. Even though it brings me joy to see where they're at, and I just want to apologize to the fan watching. The Astros, it brings me much joy to see them on the outside looking in as a residual Astros hater. But as I'm so used to them always finding a way, pulling something out their ass to get to the playoffs, it's a little shocking to see them struggling and fighting their way to get in. And can I borrow the 10 for a do-rag?
Go ahead.
I believe the Rangers are throwing the series on purpose just so to help the Guardians get in.
Nigga. So they pulling a Chiefs with the Broncos. Like, basically, like, all right, fuck it. We're gonna put it in reserves. We're gonna basically just like, all right, do whatever. Do your thing, big dog. Good luck.
That's just my 10-4 do rag moment.
Oh my goodness. I'm gonna tell you this. The Rangers did just all of a sudden, but we said this at the beginning of the season, bro. We knew the Rangers were gonna be a boat team. They were gonna be a boat race team. It was gonna be, can they put up enough runs? Cause their pitch is about to give up runs. Yep. And we said that. I'm not gonna lie to you, Jarvis. They did go out there and throw it all three of them games 6-3, 6-5. Take this. See if you can make it. Be a representative for Texas right now. And because ain't no way we went from seeing like the showdown in Texas a couple years ago to now is like, which one of us is gonna make it? Just which one of us is about to make this? That's literally where we at right now with that shit. And the crazy part is Seattle came up. Seattle knew that they had to knock somebody off.
Right now, they're the 2 seed.
Yeah. Seattle came up and they say, hey, bro, we in this. And Seattle got busy with it. And I can't even lie to you. You know what? I'll say this. Seattle is that one team right now that I think you got to be weary of them. Their pitching ain't exactly strikeout pitching, but they got a lot of pitch to low contact, pitch to ground ball, and they can put up runs. You got to switch hitting catcher, 60 home runs. And you know what the crazy part is, though, Rob? Yeah. We forget that, like, technically, if we look at them, they literally have, like, a great, like, lineup around Cal hitting. Mm-hmm. And they could make some noise. Cause they playing the Dodgers tonight. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a great game tonight. Cause it's two teams fighting. Who are we picking for the World Series? Oh, look,
that I would rather us keep that for our predictions when we actually.
Oh yeah.
When we do the brackets next week.
We are going to do brackets next week, so I'm not going to spoil that for you. But I will say this. Tonight, we're going to see how a lot of shit fans out, because you got loser teams playing loser teams early. Then right now, you got us playing Detroit. Detroit is up on us 2-1, right? Mm-hmm. The Mets are up 3-0, okay? And late on tonight, you got some of the heavier hitters. The Dodgers and the Mariners are at each other's throat. This might be a high-scoring game because guess what? Glasnow is pitching and Gilbert is pitching. And neither one of them are the best pitchers to have out there right now. The Royals and Athletics is like whatever. The Yankees should dog walk. I'm looking for the Yankees to try to dog walk the Orioles tonight. To try to push whatchamacallit down to say, hey, we taking number one seed. And, well, the Cubs already beat. As much shit as you talk about the Cubs, they beat your Cardinals today 7-3.
Oh, it's not about them winning. It's about fuck the Cubs. That's what it's about. Fuck them. That's why.
I understand. I'm cool with it. Jays beat the Rays today.
Shout out to the Cubs today.
Yeah. But I won't lie. Tonight we're going to see, because the Astros need to beat the Angels tonight, which they got a huge chance of just screwing the Angels over, because Donna is pitching tonight. And he's like a 6 ERA cat. So if Astros bats even remotely show up, they should beat the piss about an Angels tonight. That should be a no-brainer. But that Brewers-Reds game could be something crazy, because I don't know why. Well, the Brewers already made it. But they're throwing Gasser out there. I don't know if you saw that, Rob. The lineup changed, and they're throwing Gasser out there to pitch to the Reds. So it's almost like they're about to get a Reds again. Gasser's a 6 ERA guy right now. Ellie might hit a bomb tonight, bro. Ellie literally might hit a bomb tonight.
I mean, 10-4 do-rag, they might want the Reds in the playoffs just because of Ellie.
Yeah. They might. And I don't know. We get to watch. I'm not watching that Braves game. That's disappointment over there.
Yeah, why the fuck would you watch a team like that?
Phillies and Twins. Philly's probably gonna beat the Twins because Suarez is on the mound tonight. I got you.
How am I supposed to basically contend with that kind of information? Like,
I got you. This man.
Also, side note of what you were saying, though, since Detroit looked like they might win, if the Guardians win, the Astros are officially out because they hold no tiebreakers. So they would have to win out, and they would need them to lose both.
Well, here's the crazy part. the Mets, the Reds game and shit tonight is gonna help decide who play the Dodgers first. Cause I think the winner out of them two is gonna wind up being the matchup, because it has it listed. That's gonna be the matchup for the Dodgers in the first round. It's either gonna be the Mets or the Reds. And I ain't gonna lie, I think the Dodgers might want to warm up versus the Reds first. But if it was to be the Mets, this could be a very high intensity first round matchup. New York, LA. This could really be there. And the Cubs got the Padres. That could be a good series. That could be a real good wild card series. So it's crazy to say that the Dodgers are going to be
it's more beneficial for Nate's Red Sox to have the Yankees win the division. Or y'all could see them first round.
We've actually beat them. They don't like seeing, because see, I know they're going to have to see Crochet. And they hate seeing Crochet. Crochet has put his foot in their ass this season.
You confident in seeing them first round?
Yeah, like I'm not gonna lie to you.
Okay,
we might can scalp their ass in the first round. We might can scalp the Yankees in the first round, because Crochet has had his foot in the Yankees' ass all season. I think the Yankees might not want to see us. That's what it might be. They might not want to see us. Because we might upset them, and that might be something that they don't want early. But if they want that early. If they were to lose this, I think it's Yankees fans everywhere that might cry tears. To lose to the Red Sox early, they might, you know, cry like Prince on Purple Rain. You know, just that one little tears. Yeah. It might be some wild shit for them. It might be some real wild shit for them if they were to lose those, bro. Like, for real, for real. But it is damn sure going to be a real interesting wild card series. It's going to be crazy. Because they say you got Padres, Cubs, potentially Dodgers, Mets, and then we'll see the rest of them pop up soon. Well, there's going to be some good baseball coming up. There's going to be some damn good baseball. But let's see. Other than that, we're probably about to go ahead and get up out of here, guys. I see Visky over there struggling with his mute shit. I guess that's Rob must have hit you with the heebie-jeebie, you know, for trying to talk about his team.
The failure, basically, of his teams, like, cascaded into his technology and basically infiltrated it. Yep, see, it's fucking up. Basically, all
you back, you back.
They disconnected from actual reality, so that's really what it came down to. It's like an infection. You gotta like either, amputate or antibiotics, or you know something of the such. You know,
that's crazy. Shit,
you know, it's
kinda, that's crazy work.
It hurts. It hurts the system.
Well, anything y'all want to say before we get about it?
Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Fuck the Braves. Hope y'all like the show.
He taking full advantage of him not being able to hear that right.
But the Braves.
Yeah, Yankees might be going in the first round, no Max. They really might be going. It's a possibility that they could get up out of here early first round. The Braves. Yeah. While Rob does his fuck the Braves celebration dance, you know. I'm going to go ahead and say, you know, you guys can follow us, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're going to go ahead and try to go live every weekend. We see everything went out for you, Visky. But we'll get up out of here. Have a great night, everybody. Watch some baseball coming up. Playoffs start. That's going to be September, what, 1st?
October or something. Next week.
Yeah, no, October 1st. Yeah, I want to say October 1st. Let's see. Yeah, October 1st. No, it's actually going to be, I want to say playoffs going to start early this year. Yeah, September 30th.
Check your local listings.
yeah, check your local listings for game time September 30th. We're going to see Padres, Cubs, possibly Dodgers, Mets, or Dodgers, Reds, and the rest of the games will soon be announced once everything finishes season out. You guys have a great night. Been fun doing this with y'all. We're about to get up out of here. Peace.
Fuck the Braves.